All right, hello everyone that's listening to this unique podcast. I've got the pastors of Brain around the table, and we are going to talk about something that I'm almost ignorant of, and I was even informed that I'm in MMA, and I didn't even know what MMA was. You know, I didn't even know what the acronym was. What is MMA, David?
Mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts. All right, somebody grab this and help the listener who has no idea what MMA is. Describe what MMA is, besides mixed martial arts. Then we need a better description that they don't have a video to watch. So what is it, Joey?
They get in an octagon and they fight. So whether boxing, you're just hitting in the head and the stomach, this is kicking, punching, all that kind of stuff inside a ring. And of course, you have a referee.
So you don't sound too excited about it. Do you enjoy watching it?
I do not enjoy watching it.
All right. Who's watched it in here?
I've seen it. I had friends in Bible college that were into it. And I never saw what they got in the joy of beating up some other guy. Growing up in school, it was, though you get in fights and you get in trouble. You don't practice.
But you don't get in trouble in these fights, right?
No.
You actually practice the fight.
You practice to fight. These friends, I would even spar with them occasionally, just give them something to fight against, playing around. And one friend who was actually a youth ministry major had done some amateur MMA fights where he would go into a cage. He would lock himself inside of a cage with another guy, and the first one to drop lost. So they add points for whatever the hits are.
You know anything about it, David, how the scoring goes?
No, I mean, it's very much like a boxing match with judges and scorecards and things like that. And so it's actually much more regulated now than it used to be. I remember being in high school, and these mixed martial arts or UFC fights were there were no weight classes. And so in the early days, you would have these sumo wrestlers fighting these karate guys, and it was all this kind of, and it was extremely violent. And so now it's much more regulated with weight classes, and you know, just like boxing, heavyweight, light heavyweight, all the way down. And so they call it mixed martial arts because you're going to have judo guys, and you're going to have wrestling guys, and you're going to have karate guys, and so all these different mixed martial arts come together, and these guys can use whatever. There are rules in the cage, you know, no low blows, no this, no that. So it is a highly regulated thing, but it's quite striking, the physicality, if you ever sit down and watch one of these fights.
And it's extremely mainstream now that Fox.
Very much so.
Instead, you don't have to pay for it on pay-per-view anymore. Fox does it on a regular basis now, Saturday nights, where you can just watch it for free. It's not...
Well, this guy that I went to lunch with, he told me that it's the fastest growing sport in the world right now, that it's taken the world by storm.
It wouldn't surprise me. They have multi-million dollar pay-per-views every month.
Wow.
So there are millions of people in this country ordering them on a Saturday night and watching
of
fights.
And it starts at 7, 8 o'clock and goes till midnight with the big main event at the very end of the night.
It's the sports bars in towns. They advertise, we will have the fight on. I mean, you'd think it was, you know, the BCS championship or something like that all the time. Mm-hmm. These guys show up like, hey, let's go watch two guys beat up on each other and have some chicken wings while we're at it.
And it has shot long past boxing, you know, back in the days when you order the Mike Tyson fight, you know, and the Evander Holyfield fight, and boxing has waned tremendously in popularity, and this has really filled that void for the physical sport that people like to watch.
It's almost made boxing irrelevant.
Very much so, yeah.
So the fight I watched on YouTube is the guy got him down on the ground and he was basically sitting on him and then he was just pulmoning his head. I mean, blow after blow after blow until the referee, I think he called it a technical knockout,
sure.
And then he ended the fight. So I kind of struggled with that as a pastor. I was looking at it and I was trying to think, how do I put two and two together? And that's guys why I wanted to have this conversation because, you know, I'm trying to understand how I put this together as a Christian.
I think one of the things for me when I watched it, I kind of had the same reaction. And on the one hand, I get it. Because as men, I think this is what we struggle with continually. We struggle with the idea of competition. We struggle with the idea of showing every other man in the room where my position stands. And I think that's kind of a God-given thing to a certain degree. I don't want to downplay that at all. certainly not asking us to be Nancy's, but the thing is, you know, Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And what I see a lot, and Joey, before we went on the air, I know you said this, and we're going to have to get to it, but what I see a lot in this sport and other sports, I will add that caveat, is the fact that this is a way for men to go out of their lane to get honor that doesn't really belong to them. And so I think, to me, that is the most disturbing thing, is because a lot of it's built around this fact that, you know, I'm punching my man card, and this is why I'm important, because I can beat another man in this this way. And so whether that's at your work or in hockey or football, I mean, we all have to ask ourselves those questions, because the arena can just be different, but the sin be the same, and that is the lack of humility that we see, you know, Christ you know, exhibit.
Well, how do we compare that, John, to, I like to play chess, and I want to destroy you on the chessboard.
Right, and certainly there are, this is a deeper conversation than just, and the MMA, I think the reason that that's so striking is because it's so physically violent when you watch it, and so it's right in your face. But I think it's the underlying the thing. But, you know, at the same time I say that, I'm called into mind that David was a warrior, and they said, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And I don't think they were talking about holding the guy down and beating his head. I think they were actually talking maybe about death.
Right.
He actually took the lives of many in war, and those things are hard to reconcile. How can he do that and then play skillfully and soothe Saul's soul with an instrument? It just...
Part of it would be, one, you know, he was defending his nation and, you know, doing it as a soldier as opposed to an enjoyment or doing it for others' enjoyment and pleasure.
But they were certainly celebrating that, is my point.
They were celebrating.
The women were celebrating that when he came back.
The women were crazy about the fact that he was a man.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a man's a man.
Well, yes, and it goes to the nationality. They were thankful that their guy was the winner and, you know, beat Goliath and beat up on the Philistines and had...
I mean,
I'm out of captivity.
Right. I mean, I think that I mean, I'm thrilled to know that Fort Bragg has a bunch of warriors out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, I sleep better at night knowing that they're still out there training hard and that they're warriors. And that those that seek to do us harm, that they are prepared. I mean, I think we don't want anyone misunderstanding this conversation and thinking that, you know, if someone comes into your house to seek to do harm to your wife, then you have every right to defend your wife, Joey. And if that means taking the whatever to his head, I'm trying to reconcile that with going into a ring and beating the snot out of somebody.
For really nothing other than just millions of dollars.
I mean, what do you think, David? What goes through your mind? I mean, you're clearly an athlete. Mm-hmm. You love sports.
Right.
And you're a born-again follower of Jesus, a student of his word.
Yeah, and it is one of the it's one of the biggest challenges, and I'm not a fighter, I'm a basketball player, you know, and yet it's a struggle to reconcile the competitive nature that I have. You know, our team verse is 1 Corinthians 9:24, you know, run so that you may obtain. Run that race as hard as you can, because I want you to play as hard as you can for Christ. You know, and so that's what I stress to the guys, is we want to play as hard as we can. You know, God wants us to give everything we've got out there for his glory, but we get in the way of that a lot of times. And, you know, where do I struggle with my testimony? I'm not tempted to go to the bars and get drunk, but when I'm out on the court, being competitive, officials, other players, that's where my testimony is challenged. And so it's very easy to get me in the way when I'm competing in that sense. And so can you go and fight in an octagon and give God the glory? I suppose you can, but I think it's a difficult undertaking, in the sense that the spotlight is on you. Are you making sure that spotlight is being turned towards your Lord and Savior? And it's just like we said before, the violence of the sport. And as Joey said before, we could bring in football, we could bring in hockey, we could bring in several different sports into this equation, and it shouldn't be any different in the conversation, but it is a little different in the conversation.
Do you feel that this is another step for the bullies, for young people especially? I'm thinking of young people and how they seem to be transitioning more and more and more into blood sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're drawn to violence. I mean, look at the way movies are. I think we are drawn to that physicality. I think it can go both ways. I think it can be the kid that that feels picked on, and this is an outlet for him to let out aggression. It's the kid that, you know, we've got so much anger in our... We men like to build up all this anger, and I'm sure this is quite an outlet for that anger.
I guess I'm trying to wonder, how do you get passionate enough to hit somebody as hard as you can without being angry? I mean, I don't know, but what do you understand what I'm asking, guys, the listener? How do you, you know, because I'm just not going to be able to come up to you, John, and just hit you as hard as I can. I love you as a brother in Christ. You haven't done anything to harm me. I can't imagine decking you in such a way that blood is going to come pouring out of your nose without me having some type of an irritant, which I would call sin.
It would be hard if we were in the ring and you beat the snot out of me for you the next day to take me out the coffee and try to, you know, give me the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine how we now can go back to the locker room and I'm going to open up Romans 3:23 and lead you to the Lord, because you just embarrassed me in front of the entire world because I lost.
Man to man.
Right. It's not quite the same as basketball. It's not quite the same as...
Yeah, you just didn't burn me for a touchdown. You just pulverized me over and over again.
And I think it's a... And I want to be careful here because, of course, we keep all this intention because God did create men, God did create women, and specific roles and different ways of thinking, and the warrior and the protection and all of that. But at the same time, what it seems to be is a more humanistic approach as to, I'm going to measure you. You know, this guy's a greater man because he can beat the snot out of this guy, and that doesn't take into the fact that, you know, I was made, I was created by God, weighing 140, and with no meat on my bones, and this guy was, you know, created weighing 240, you know, and just has muscles, you know, and
of course our listener would say they've now refined that, John, classes, and that you got weight classes and all that, you know.
But at the same time, you know, the measurement of what's important here is at stake, you know, is someone who has a God honoring life, a man, or someone who can go out and train and train and train and then overcome someone physically, is that the measure of a man?
Yeah, I wrestled in high school, and you know, it was a one-on-one sport, and somebody got pinned and somebody didn't, or there's a number of sports. But even when you walked off the mat, your face wasn't destroyed. You know, he got a move on you. He reversed on you, or you know, I'm just trying to just draw this distinction between, because I wrestled and I wasn't mad at the opponent, but I wasn't having to hit the opponent. That I'm trying to draw that distinction. Am I making sense, David?
Yeah, it's sure. Not. It's the goal is not violence. Like for a lot of football players who are playing football, their goal is to make a tackle. And if they hit a guy hard, it's not always because they're necessarily going out to try to just knock a guy to clean the guy's clock. They're just trying to make the tackle, and sometimes it happens where you light a guy up. And the same thing with wrestling. Your goal is to get a pin. Your goal is not to not knock the guy unconscious so you can get a belt. So I think there is an increased level of violence where you're certainly, even to the point of, even though they say no one has died, when you repeatedly, you know, hit someone in the head, you certainly run that risk. And you, as a Christian, you would be really struggling if you call someone to lose their life in the ring like that, whether it was boxing, which happened a lot more frequently.
Right. And I think it's really interesting, and our fellow church members here, because... You know, I've got friends here in this church that love this MMA. They're really into it, and they will tell you that there are a large percentage of fighters that are born again Christians, that are professing Christians. And I've seen them. You'll see them get interviewed after the match, and the first thing they say is, "I'd just like to thank Jesus." And you know, for us that aren't in this, it seems kind of weird. You know, like you just said, I just beat this man. I just made this man tap out because I had him in an armbar. You know, and now I'm going to thank Jesus. And yet there is, it seems to be, at least in a professing idea, there is a large percentage of these guys in this crazy violent sport that claim Christ. Now, I don't know anything about them. I can't really comment on who they are. You know, probably the biggest guy in the sport, as far as being an outsider, know it, named John Jones, who's a champion. He is a professing Christian. You know, and yet, it's so hard to reconcile that in this arena for us, I think, for those of us that are on the outside. Maybe somebody can give us some insight, but it just seems to clash with what Christ is trying to make us to be.
Well, I can't see Christ in the stadium cheering on somebody as they're palming him in the face. I mean, am I missing something there?
Well, especially when you think about Christians being sent into the arena in Rome and having to fight for their
lives. And this is quite
life.
Gladiatorial.
Yeah, it's like gladiatorial.
You want to make a parallel.
And they were the ones that were dying because they couldn't, you know, win. And then now we have it where we're actually going in and doing the same thing in the name of Christ. And it seems like that's, you know, the opposite of love thy neighbor as thyself.
I guess I was thinking back to an earlier comment you made, you know, how can you go, you know, how can you go, you know, to the locker room afterwards and be a pal? But, you know, I think from their perspective, it would be one of respect of, you know, hey, you got me and, you know, you had a better move, you had a better training or whatever. And, you know, the competitive nature of the guys involved in it, you know, their thought is, you know, hey, I'm going to train harder. I'm going to get you the next time.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to let you, you know, pull that move. I'm not going to let you get that shot in on me the next time, and I'm going to be prepared for it and kind of almost like, you know, let's do it again.
And, well, certainly the guy going into the ring knows that there's a possibility that my face is going to be pummeled, right? Because he's probably done it to somebody else in order to get in that ring.
Yeah, and I think what you see in this sport is you see a lot of what Steve is talking about. You know, in boxing, we'd have these guys that would go 50-0 and nobody could ever touch them for the longest of time. You know, just what I've noticed, you don't see those kind of records in the MMA because sometimes somebody gets a shot in on you. You know, catch you on the chin and you're out. They catch you in a hole and you have to tap out or your arm's going to get broken. And so these guys beat each other a lot. And so there's much more of that. I don't know. It's a little bit different in that idea. And I think somebody within the sport would probably tell us that. It's a respect thing. It's not a violence thing.
And it's just the passion they have for their martial art, you know, that's in really ingrained in them, you know, the loyalty or the passion for what they do. So I don't know if they really go into the ring, you know, angry at the other guy, you know, because, you know, again, as we sit here, we're not doing it for, you know, for competition, but, you know, if we get angry at somebody or somebody attacks us, we're going to fight back out of, you know, whether it's preservation or anger or whatever. But, you know, they're going in, you know, that this is my job.
Right.
You know, this is what I do for a living. And that they're passionate about it. You know, this is how I'm going to feed my family. So they're going in, you know, hey, I have to win. I have to, you know, take care of this. I have to do the best I can. You know, whether it's just because they enjoy it or they're passionate or they're trying to feed their family, whatever. But you know, I think their mindset's probably, you know, same as any athlete. You know, I want to win.
All right, well, then let's turn it just a little bit. And now you're a dad. Let's talk a little bit about the risk. Where does that fit in? You know, you have two children, you two girls, two boys. You got a little guy. He's less than a year old, Joey. You know, how do we reconcile that? You know, I mean, I had some concerns, some reservations about that. What if I get killed? Okay, no one's died. All right, then what about paralyzed? Maybe that hasn't happened. Maybe I'm overreacting.
I think it's the same in any sport. You know, when my daughter did gymnastics and, you know, as she worked her way up, I mean, I always had the fear, you know, what if she, you know, goes to do something on the balance beam and falls and breaks her back or, you know, breaks her neck or, you know, the vault or whatever. And I mean, that's just a you know, you're not competing really against anybody else. I mean, you're competing against yourself.
But last night I watched a little bit, some podcast actually, of people who do extreme skiing, and they go up and take them by helicopter on the top of these mountains. Some incredible stuff. And, you know, my wife, it started a conversation between my wife and I about our past ski trip we just went on and, you know, how she worries because it's dangerous on skiing. Yeah, it is, but, you know, it's so fun, you just want to do it. You know, and so, I mean, there's things like that. I think, of course, with everything, and of course, the answer from the MMA would be it's highly regulated, and that they health and safety actually makes their sport probably safer than some others, even though it appears violent. And I don't know, you could get, you know, into conversations with professionals about that, and you know, so it, yeah, there's a part of me that every time my son takes the floor, or even my daughter, goes up in one of those, what do they call them in cheerleading?
Stunts.
Stunts. Yeah. You know that it's not going to end well, but at the same time, I don't know if you can walk around in fear constantly, but obviously you don't want to be stupid.
Well, I would say at a bare minimum, from a pastoral perspective, that a person doing this should have life insurance, term life insurance, and should have some type of a disability insurance. Because the possibility is you could become permanently disabled and leave a wife and three kids.
Well, the ones I've seen, too, I have one other concern when it comes to men in our church, and that is I've seen noticed that the atmosphere around the cage and stuff with the women, the way they dress, is appeals to that whole beer commercial kind of idea. Yeah. And it seems, you know, even if we could argue the other things and set those aside, you know, we need to be pure, men of purity, and I think that atmosphere alone is a reason why I wouldn't let my children watch these matches, and I wouldn't watch them myself.
Yeah, but then you're struggling with football the same way. I mean, it's got the same, you know.
Sure. That's why you
same kind of culture.
Well, and that's a problem they're having is they're trying to say, this is how you get respect. Well, in the Bible, we're way away from what it means to get respect. Because as a Christian, we want to get respect from God. And we want to be respectful to God. And that surely is not the way we do it. You know, that was the downfall of Rome, and we just keep moving more and more towards Rome.
Well, there's no question. I mean, I did a podcast this morning. Brown University in Rhode Island, guys, has just authorized students to get sex changes on the student insurance that you get as a college student. So if you want, we're moving to Rome. I mean, we're moving to Rome. I mean, there's no question. We're moving as far away from God as we can. I mean, it's a train, and it's going in the opposite direction of God.
And it's amazing how it just doesn't work. When they try to do it the way they want to, it doesn't work, because what you will hear, if you're an educator, especially if you're in the public schools, is things like violence and you know, working it out with your fists and all of that is not the answer. You hear that constantly. But what we say, that the MMA is one of the fastest growing sports, because men, are, from the time they're little boys, are told to be girls, and they're just rebelling against that. I mean, God made us, no, we're not going to be like that. And so, of course, the extreme idea is that, you know, you go in a fit of rage, you're going to prove your manhood. But it's just amazing to me that you just can't keep that out, that down.
So can I be a God-glorifying MMA athlete?
That's a very good question. You know, I think for me, when I look at my sport, and it's not a violent sport, but when I look at my perspective on the sport prior to Christ and my perspective on the sport after Christ, the game becomes pretty silly. You know, and it's been a platform for me, and I've been able to go overseas and use it as a platform for the gospel, and it's been very useful. But every time, the game is just fluff compared to everything else. And so can that kind of lifestyle, can that sport be the centerpiece of your life? You know, the money maker in your life, the purpose in your life, and yet you keep Christ in the forefront. I think it's a challenge everywhere, but in an example like this, I think it's a tremendous challenge.
Well, it's just like when I'm at a baseball game, and I'm sitting on the first base line, and I think that the guy is clearly safe at first, and the umpire calls him out, and next thing you know, I'm out of my seat saying things to the umpire that my wife doesn't want me to say, and I'm getting angry, and I'm getting frustrated, or I'm the coach on the bus. I mean, there's a line that you cross.
Sure.
where you're no longer enjoying baseball, and where you're being an obnoxious, and you're not being a good testimony for Christ, and you're not glorifying Christ. And I guess it would be hard to be in the ring, and somewhere I would think that you're going to cross that line when you're, you know, throwing blows. You know, I mean, how do you punch someone in the name of Christ? I don't, you know.
Well,
how do I shout obscenities at the umpire at the baseball game in the name of Christ?
I think we've all probably caught a shot to the face once or twice.
Yeah.
And what's the first thought that comes to your mind? It's not usually Christ glorifying.
No.
You know, it's hard to get hit and not.
I don't start seeing Amazing Grace.
And not get flesh. Yeah. You know, and they would probably tell us that they can, that's just part of the whole thing. But
I'd like to have their self control.
Right. Exactly.
So what do we say about the church member or the listener that just does it for recreation? It's a good workout. It's a total body workout. Legs, upper body, cardio. You know, I just enjoy fighting because it's a great workout. So how do we address that? I don't really enjoy punching them, you know, because you can,
well, you can do shadow boxing or, you know, many of the martial arts, the practices are less contact.
No striking.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, if you were a kid that got picked on, you went and took judo or karate or taekwondo to be able to learn how to defend yourself and kind of take out some of that aggression. But it was, you know, it wasn't as, you know, violent. It was teaching you discipline and self-control and defend yourself if you absolutely have to. That was the idea.
I just watched The Karate Kid. He taught me everything I needed in that.
Well, and, you know, the concept there wasn't to be the aggressor. It was, you know, to only to defend and only to,
theoretically, anyway. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But in this case, it's clearly aggression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you've got to, from the word go, you've got to come out working and hitting, and if not, you're probably going to be the loser.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so,
if I had two sons, and they, I'm doing this, and then how do I stop them from doing it amongst each other? Because they think this is the right thing to do to gain dad's respect. So that's a bit of a hard thing to look at.
I mean, even if we don't even go to MMA, even if we just think about football and the violence of football, those of us with sons in the room have to answer that question. Would you let them play football?
I don't think I would let my son at this
point. And we see the effects of concussions and dementia and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's happening in football at such a rapid pace now. You have to wonder, these guys, they have headgear on, but football players have headgear on.
In UFC, they don't. Yeah. You know, they're not wearing
headgear. No headgear.
Yeah, and so
the fight I saw on the video, there was nobody wearing a headgear.
Not at all. No gloves. Yeah. A lot of they'll have the thin gloves.
Yeah,
and
he said a 4-ounce glove is what, right.
And as new as UFC and MMA is, you know, we haven't seen the long term effects of that.
But we're starting to. We've been seeing the long term effects of football, getting your head, you know,
you bounce your head off the floor. You know, that's concussion later.
And it's
on.
Almost like having a car wreck every Sunday if you're a football player. Yeah. And you know, you see some of these shots these guys take in the octagon.
Well, this guy's head was laying on the thing, and the guy was just hitting him one again. And he was pinned down, so his arms were held in place, and he was just pounding his head. And I can't help but wonder, that's blunt force trauma to the head. You know, if you were using a baseball bat, would that be okay? I mean, where would you draw the line is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, I mean, because this man is still made in the image of God, created by God, and has a God-destined purpose, and he probably needs cognitive skills for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that's...
You're really running the risk of killing someone. And I can drive my car, and you could go through all the scenarios, but I mean, I guess that would be where I would really struggle with, is what happens if I hit somebody too many times, just like used to having in boxing, and that's it for them. Well, how am I going to feel for the rest of my life that I took somebody's life just for recreation?
Well, I feel like this has been a useless podcast because we didn't have any answers. I mean, we just discussed it, guys. We didn't come to any conclusions.
We're moving to Rome. We did figure that out.
I mean, I don't...
But I think it's something that the person who's watching it needs... You need to... Why are you watching Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone movies? Why are you playing violent video games? What's your reaction when somebody gets the snot knocked out of them on the football field? What's your reaction when a guy gets a beanball in baseball and the pitcher charges and the batter charges the mound in violence? I mean, those are all... The question is, what do we do with the violence? Because the violence is definitely not godly, and that's where we have to look into our conscience and say, okay, what? When is too violent? When is it too violent?
Well, David, a year ago, 6 months ago, I mean, it all flies by, but you and I did a podcast on video games and violent video games.
Yeah.
And Adam Lanza... is that his last name? Did I get it right? That's the shooter in Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his whole entire room, they found out, was wall-to-wall modern warfare, video games all day long, every day. I'm going to practice shooting someone. As a dad, and I've done everything I can to put a screeching halt to that with my own son. And the amount of time that he spends doing that. And it's become a tiny little window of his week if everything's going well for him and he's had a great week. Other than that, it's, you know, I think there's a lot of big difference between driving a race car around a NASCAR thing on a screen and then practicing shooting people on the screen. Am I wrong?
I tell the third grade kids, I said, when you blow someone up on your video game, or you get blown up, you can hit reset button. But if your dad gets blown up in Afghanistan, or he comes home with both of his legs missing, there's no reset button. So I want to help them understand that this could be desensitizing you, and they enjoy it. It's fun for them. But I say it's in real life, it's not fun, but they're struggling more and more because no one's teaching them to distinguish between what's real and what's fantasy, and they're struggling.
Right. I've never been a let's blame the movies and video games kind of guy, because I think our sin natures take care of a lot of that on our own. But I think it's really hard to argue with as readily available as this violence is, and as desensitized as we've become to it with movies and video games, that it's not playing a role. And we've just seen too much evidence pointing towards that to think that it doesn't affect kids.
And Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone both have violent movies coming out, or have them out right now. One of them, Bruce Willis, is not for gun control because he doesn't want to destroy the Bill of Rights, and Sylvester Stallone is for gun control, and the name of his movie is A Bullet to the Head.
Yeah.
And he says it has no effect. But, I mean, how can you name a movie Bullet to the Head and not, you know, mental illness may be the issue, but we're not helping the mental illness by putting people in front of these violent video games and these violent movies if they already have a problem. And we're just adding to the problem. Whether it may not be the main issue, but it's certainly not the...
They're coming out now in the... that even children can have post-traumatic stress. And we're finding more and more people having post-traumatic stress, not warriors, but ordinary people that are beginning to have post-traumatic stress. And there isn't one counselor or therapist in this town, this Cumberland County, that is not overworked. I mean, they just can't take any more clients. And they're cutting all this down now. In the Obama plan, this is all crumbling. There is no mental health.
Well, you know, the Bible clearly teaches us that we need to do things that are edifying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I would, you know, back to what Joey said, I would think in most sports, you know, there always can be some time that somebody's going to cross the line. You know, in basketball, you know, you're going to have a fight break out, or hockey, or football, or, you know, soccer. You know, but again, I mean, that's not part of the sport.
You know, it's not the intent.
You know, if the players were disciplined and were following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do and containing or self-disciplining themselves, you know, they're not going to break out into a fight. It's not the intent of the sport. And I think a lot goes back to, you know, even the players and the fans, you know, is that, you know, when that happens, do you think, oh, great, you know, in hockey, when a fight breaks out, I said, oh, yeah, I can't wait for the next one because I enjoyed it? Or, you know, is it more like, you know, man, you know, those guys, you know, they lost control and lost, you know, they didn't discipline themselves. They shouldn't have done that. You know, or the batter that rushes the mound or whatever. You know, that's not part of baseball. You know, that's not the intent. But, you know, if we're enjoying that and we're, you know, trying to egg it on, so to speak, then, you know, I think that's kind of where you cross the line in many of the sports. And it's, you know, it's no longer just the competition and the competitive nature of playing and, you know, the staying in shape and the exercise and all of that, but you're actually, you know, you're crossing line because you're outside the boundaries of the intent of that sport.
I remember Wilt Chamberlain in an interview saying, you know, today's basketball is not basketball, because Wilt said, when I met with Russell, we never touched each other. Never touched each other. You touch him, that's a foul. And he said that today it's not basketball, it's just out there roughhousing. And he said that's not basketball.
Has it changed, David? Has the sport changed?
Yeah, I think it has. It's... If you watch a Division I college game, or you watch an NBA game nowadays, it's a brawl. It's a wrestling match out there.
And it's the same thing in football. Sometimes almost after every play, you got guys that referees are having to separate guys. Where 20 years ago, you could watch a football game, a guy can make a tackle, and he'd get up, he'd help the guy up, and they go back to the huddle.
Oh, look at Bobby Knight in basketball. Yeah, not much more aggression than that.
Yeah. Well, again, not too many answers. I mean, this is something that somebody has to give serious consideration to. I mean, I just don't think that you can just assume that God is okay with this. I want to talk about one last scenario, and then I want to see if we can discuss a parallel. If we create a culture where it's okay for guys to get in a ring and beat each other up, and we stand around and watch this, I can't help but to wonder, to what degree will that create a scenario in high schools and in life and at the mall? If people see two people fighting, that instead of intervening and stopping it, they just circle around and see who's going to win.
I went to public school, and we loved it when people got in fights. Not one of us was trying to get in there and separate the fight.
The scenario you described.
We would circle around, and we were like, "Yeah, I'm getting." No, we had our poo. We were pulling for, and we looked forward to the next big fight at school. That was kind of our mindset.
Right, and so how do I reconcile that with being a Christian? Because as a Christian, if I see the underdog getting his head beat in, and I have within me the ability to put a stop to it, I have a responsibility to stop it, to defend the fatherless, to defend the orphan, to defend the weak. I mean, that's our God. Let's not forget, that's the Father. He is defending the helpless. He is defending the weak. He is going to bat for the underdog. And I can't just, this is a church, we do construction around here, so I can't just rah-rah-rah and circle and watch it and pretend like I'm at an MMA event now and there's a ref and I'm going to enjoy it, can I?
Well, I think what happens is, are we set apart or are we not? Are we different from the world or are we not? And what happens in those situations, and we could all probably think of a situation where this has been the case at a game or witnessing one of these fights, is we become part of the mob, mm-hmm. you know, and we join right in. Because if everybody else is saying it's okay, well, I can blend right in there and say it's okay, because I'm really not saying it's okay from my own individual perspective.
The collective entity is
saying. And so if you ever take a psychology class, you'll hear about this, and you'll hear situations where they stage assaults and they stage muggings in the middle of crowded parks, and nobody does anything because they just blend into the crowd. They don't want to step out and be different. And so are we going to be the ones that are going to step out and say, okay, we can't abide this anymore? Or are we just going to blend into the crowd and be just like everybody else?
Well, Philippians 2:3 says we need to esteem others better than ourselves. And I like the ESV because it says, as more significant than myself.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it says, of course, that was followed by, I mean, preceded by, don't do anything out of strife or vainglory. Which,
and again, John, that's built on two truths that we don't seem to grasp today. Number one, you're made by God. Number two, Christ died for you. So you're made in by God in His image, and your value is established because of that, so much so that Christ died for you. You know, you're not a product of an evolutionary accident. You were made by God, and God has a purpose for your life, and I'm not going to allow someone, to the best of my ability, to beat the snot out of you. And so, hey, if you're an MMA guy out there and you're a Christian and you happen to get a hold of this podcast, we'd love to sit down with you and have a follow-on conversation. We'd love to get an inside scoop to somebody who's actually in the ring and maintains their Christian testimony as they are hitting someone in the face. We want to see how that comes together in your mind, how you reconcile that. I know our listeners would enjoy that. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.